May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is one of my favorite days of the year, Ash Wednesday, because it begins the season of Lent. Those of you who are CTKers have heard me say this before. Years and years ago, I used to hate things like Lent and Ash Wednesday because I just thought it was a spirit of religion. Because many of the people I knew who did Ash Wednesday and they did Lent, they'd go get hammered on Tuesday before, Fat Tuesday, and then they would give up something like cussing during Lent, but they never had really heart to walk with the Lord, just a religious, sort of a goofy thing. But of course, that was not the original intent of early church, and it's not the original intent of all this. Ash Wednesday is about, if you understand what it's about, Lent's about, in the seasons of the year, as a prophetic person, you see, I believe that we, signs and symbols can draw us into the presence of God. You know, Agabus even gave a prophetic word in Scripture. Often prophetic words are given in signs and symbols and almost miming things through paintings and that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, we as Protestant country, we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We've gotten hung up with Romophobia. And we've not been able to see the reality and the wisdom of the early fathers and mothers of the church. Because they were Jewish, so therefore they were very symbolic signs and symbol people. Things like incense and candles meant something to them, not just a religious activity. And Lent is starting the season. It's kind of like, we've said this before, it's like if you're a Christian, you should just walk with God every day, radically. You don't need to go to a conference. That's like a religious spirit to go to a conference. Why do you need that? Of course it's not a religious spirit. It's just a desire to go a little farther, to learn a little bit more. Lent's that. The word means to stretch, to lengthen. And it's a preparation to experience a new experience of crucifixion and resurrection in our life, a calling forth of a new place. And one of the things we said Sunday, we're in a season, just spiritually, where we're saying, God, we want to do what we have to do, our part, to bring about shifts in our lives, so you can bring about a shift in our heart, so we can carry a greater works anointing and a greater presence in our life. And so the timing of it is so prophetic that we're now entering into Lent. Because Lent is that season where you just extravagantly go the extra mile. You do more fasting than ever before. You let God search your heart without guilt and condemnation. You want to come to a deeper place of repentance. It's just sort of, it's like a 6 weeks conference where you're going just to passionately let God deal with you in an extravagant way to change you permanently. It's sort of a reset button. It's a recalibration season every time. The purple color is the purple of not only repentance, but it's also royalty. We believe that repentance brings us closer to experiencing who we are in Christ as royal, noble people in God. And the ashes that we wear are a sign to us how much we love Him who paid us such a price for us, and that we realize we're weak and we're mortal and we're needy and we're poor in spirit. Now tonight we'll do more of an Ash Wednesday type service. Our liturgy isn't that today. We'll probably do something for this next year. But if you want to have the imposition of ashes when you come up and receive Eucharist, we'll do that. What a charismatic thing to do, to walk around the city with ashes like a cross on your forehead. Didn't he talk about signing us on our forehead in Revelation? Didn't they wear turbans with holy beloved, holy to the Lord on their forehead? That's what that means. That's like your holy to the Lord thing on your forehead. That I'm absolutely, utterly, and totally in love with Him and completely dependent on Him. It's the most anti-religious thing I know of. And so I got to go get my tag later, so I'm going to wear my ashes, and I got a pretty big forehead. Now, you don't have to, but when you come receive Eucharist, if you want the ashes, then just say so. We'll give you the imposition of ashes. I encourage you, even if you do that, to come back tonight. We're going to do something very unique, a solemn Eucharist. There's not going to be any music. It's just we're just going to radically, by our unified prayers and desires, to again say to God, look, we're showing up for something amazing. Do a reset button on us, a recalibration. So I just encourage you to come 6:30, even if you get ashes today or have gotten them earlier, or if you've just never been to something like that before. It'll be charismatic in its intention. But it's going to be a serious time where we're just going to kind of go for it in unison as a group. And so we have some people who are going to a Bethel conference in Birmingham. I'm glad they're going. That's good for them and good for us. But the rest of us here will be doing the ashes things. And and going for it. So I just encourage you. So here's a really, really short sermon in light of the explanation kind of being the sermon. See, the thing for me is that once I really, God did an even deeper work in my life about prophetic things, I got crazy about all this stuff. I love the fact that the seasons of the year, Jews did it, we all charismatic Christians just love that. Well, the church also came up with some seasons. And as we worship God through time, it just draws us in, reminds us again, just the saving acts of Jesus. And during this 40 days of Lent, we just sort of walk with Jesus in the wilderness. And then we prepare ourselves again for the whole Holy Week thing, which is so stunning. And enter into the passion of Jesus, and we once again go to that down and up life experience. You got to go down to go up in the kingdom of God. Well, we talked about this yesterday, so let me just reiterate the fact from Matthew chapter 3. It says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for it is fitting for us to complete all righteousness, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens opened, just like Jesus told Philip. I'm going to live my life under an open heaven where angels ascend and descend. And the interesting thing here, it says, and behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. The language here, the grammar is, it was as if the dove just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept, it's like a constant flow coming and resting and sitting. And John says on 129 that the Holy Spirit came to him and stayed. So we talked about yesterday, why did Jesus as the Son of Man, what was his experience? What did he do that would cause the Holy Spirit not just to come, but to stay? And it's like a constant flow. And then what caused him to live under an open heaven experientially? And we said, we came back to this place, is that Jesus' passion was to fulfill all righteousness. And that matters. And the righteousness isn't just being obedient, it's pursuing truth. It's looking for more ways to be well-pleasing to God. Because he says about him, the voice that came out of heaven saying repeatedly, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well-pleased. We said yesterday, he loves us all, but we're not always well-pleasing to him. As those who are heart passions to bring more pleasure to his heart, to look for truth to walk in, to long for that. Those are the ones who live under an open heaven, who experience the Spirit remaining on them. And then here's the thing. In this particular passage in Matthew, in chapter 4, shouldn't be a chapter division there. So go right into the flow of what happened to him with the Holy Spirit. Then. Now notice this word. The Holy Spirit's like just descending on him. It's almost like a light of the Spirit remaining on him. But you can just see it constantly happening. The heavens being constantly open. The Holy Father's saying again and again, he's my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him because Jesus had a heart to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In Luke 4, it says he was tempted by the devil. But this is that one passage that we've talked about over the last couple of years. It says he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And one of the things that we said was that Jesus wasn't under attack in the wilderness. He was on the attack. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted. It happened on purpose. He didn't just happen to be in the wilderness, and while he was there, he got tempted. He went after the enemy and declared war in light of the kingdom of heaven being now, and was announcing to the enemy that he was a prototype of a whole new creation of humanity that was going to look just like him, be Christ-like, and that the enemy's day was done. He was taking back the earth for the kingdom of God. But here's the thing that's important. It was only then that Jesus did that. We talk about these verses with passion. Oh, yeah, we're called to take back the kingdom. Oh, yeah, we're called to announce to the enemy his day is done. The kingdom of heaven is here. And then get our brains beat out. It's because Jesus then he went when he was living under an open heaven. When he was hearing, you're well-pleasing to me. I don't just love you, but you're well-pleasing to me. When the Holy Spirit was remaining on him. We have a passion to fulfill our righteousness. I say this to you to say why Lent is so important, because God called us to take more territory for the kingdom of God than ever before. The kingdom of God is within you. God's called for the kingdom of God to take more territory in you than ever before, and to take more territory out there than ever before, for us to carry a greater anointing, a greater works anointing, a greater presence. Christianity is not something you can memorize. It's not cute little statements that we can quote and repeat that other people say. It's about walking in something that's real. And if you and I are going to do that, if we're going to carry a greater works anointing and a greater presence and do more damage for the kingdom of God, we have got to come to a deeper place where we're living under an open heaven. Not just saying there's an open heaven, but living under it, experiencing it, the flow of it's actually occurring, where the Holy Spirit really is remaining on us more consistently than ever before, because it's then we carry the authority and the power to do what Jesus did, to go on the attack. Let's not fool ourselves. It's not just a formula or a cute phrase we can memorize and go, now let's go get the devil. It doesn't work that way. It's a real thing. It's a real relationship. It comes from real transformation. Lent reminds us, oh God, if we want more, there is more. If we want more, you require more. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Amen? It's not just words, not just cute formulas, not just cute little sermons. It's actually walking in it, experiencing it. That's what Lent is about. That's the gift of this season for us. That's what Ash Wednesday is all about. I'm ready to take up my cross every day and follow Him. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.